and welcome into the top Formula One podcast of right here on Weagle 91.1 FM. Trying out a little bit of a new system today. We got a whole new setup. We're right here in the bullpen of the Weagle 91.1 FM studios. But that does not matter, because what truly matters is Ferrari are going to win the world championship. It doesn't matter what these two lunatics say about their Red Bull and the rest of the grid. Ferrari is going to win. As always, I'm Noah Phillips, joined by Griggs Blankenberg and Ben McClark, and you're listening to Smooth Operators, only by podcast form.
Yeah, lunatics.
Yeah, not so fast, my friend.
Lunatics.
Not so fast, my friend.
I will give you, it's closer than it was last year, so credit to the boys in red.
I mean, is it though?
I mean,
Red Bull having two 1-2s and then Ferrari having I guess it
is. Point wise, but yes.
The competition itself is not.
Yeah. But welcome back in, everyone. Smooth Operators here. Weagle 91.1 and FM, as Noah said. And let's just get right into it. We have a race recap today. We're talking about the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix, which happened last Saturday, technically Sunday morning.
Yeah,
the 24th
Saturday
in
night,
Melbourne,
Sunday morning.
Australia, which the reason why I know is so helpful if you've not been looking at F1 these past week with all the other sports going on. But Ferrari, with a 1-2 finish, Carlos Sainz, his second win in the last 2 years, winning from second on the grid, followed by Charles Leclerc in second for Ferrari as well. They 1-2 for Ferrari, followed in third place by McLaren's Lando Norris, fourth Oscar Piastri, fifth Sergio Perez, sixth Lance Stroll, seventh Yuki Tsunoda, eighth Fernando Alonso, ninth Nico Hülkenberg, and rounding out the top 10 point scores is 10th Kevin Magnussen. So a lot of double points for a lot of these teams here. Ferrari, McLaren, Aston Martin, and Haas of all teams finishing with double points. But yeah, the main story from this past weekend was the incredible streak that Max Verstappen has of finishing almost every single race the last 2 years has come to an end. He went almost an entire full year. He went from Imola of 2022 to Saudi Arabia of 2024 scoring points. 2 years, and he gets a DNF on lap three with his brakes catching on fire. So with that,
that's all that we could see with Max Verstappen's retirement. But I personally believe that there's a little bit more than meets the eye with that accident. What my opinion, and this is my opinion only, I believe that the engine failed, causing the brakes to overheat. And that's what caused the brakes to catch on fire. Because if you look, at the replay, you can see his car coming into the pits and then a plume of smoke basically erupting out of the back of the car, which doesn't necessarily look like a brake failure. It looks like an engine failure. That said,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
He
was out of the race anyway.
We're going to win the world championship. We're going to win it in endurance racing. We're going to win it in Formula One. We're going to win it in NASCAR. All right? Haas technically owns a team. They're technically Ferrari sponsored.
Yeah.
Stewart Haas Racing is going to win a championship this year in NASCAR. But most importantly, Ferrari, the boys in red, are going to win a championship in Formula One. And then we're going to have Lewis Hamilton win his eighth. I'm kidding.
I don't think that's going to happen. But this was definitely an interesting race, especially with the Mercedes boys. With Lewis out in lap 15, George Russell, whatever you want to say about it, finished 56 laps. Then his car flips over. Alonso got a penalty for it. It was an interesting situation where people thought he should have gotten it, people thought he shouldn't have, but ended up getting a DNF for that. Lewis Hamilton has called this the worst season he's had, the worst start to a season that he's had. Right now, currently in the driver's standings, Lewis Hamilton is currently 10th with 8 points. He's only 2 points ahead of Yuki Tsunoda and Ollie Bearman of Ferrari. He was not driving anymore after that one race.
What a season we've had already, I gotta say. It's really been, I guess, more up and down than I thought it would be. I don't know. Just watching some of the how do I put this? Watching some of the people coming into the sport, and people who were are winning races now that I did not expect to be winning races, and people being competitive that I guess like Ollie Bearman I just did not see coming. But we've also had some completely shockingly bad campaigns too by, you know, Renault and Alpine, and they've just been terrible. But yeah, anyway, it's been a good season so far, and I look forward to Japan. That'll be next week.
That will be, yeah. It's exciting. Another late race.
Oh yeah, another late night
or early, however you want to call it. Get a nap before him. But again, I think just the way that kind of Ferrari just kind of handle their business, which they've not been able to do in the past, where they had the lead after the situation and they kept it, where they weren't really fighting too much with, and they made their pit stops correctly, which are great. And yeah, I mean, Ferrari just showing that they can be competitive this year, especially with Mercedes having their struggles right now. Looking at the constructor standings, Red Bull still in first, 97 points, followed by Ferrari, only 4 points back with 93. McLaren in third with 55, Mercedes fourth with 26, and Aston Martin in fifth with 25. So Ferrari's got a chance, but they have to take advantage of this. And Red Bull's streak of consistency,
it might come to an end, though.
It could, but
this is breaking news, Griggs.
Oh, we got breaking news.
Well, I guess as of 9:03.
Oh, okay, so not breaking news.
Not breaking news, but recent news. Aston Martin has made an offer to Adrian Newey.
Ooh.
Which would be quite interesting. This is reported by Autosport.com. And yes, it goes on to say that Lawrence Stroll has upped the ante with a big contract offer. Hold on, let me close some applications out real quick. It's like overwhelming.
How big, Ben?
Wow, Ben.
Big or
according to Autosport, a big money offer, which could be, you know, tens of millions. They did not get into the specifics. Let me see if I can find any other sources with that information, because that would be a good reason for Alonso to stay there. That would be insane. And also, I mean, Aston Martin getting Honda power in 2026, that's going to be, you know, Aston with Honda and Adrian Newey would be nuts. I gotta say, imagine Aston Martin world champions.
That'd be crazy.
That mean Lance Stroll becomes a champion in Formula One?
It would have to be.
As a number one driver as well.
Oh, yeah. He might not win the driver's champion, but
he'd still be the number one driver.
Yeah.
That is true.
Indeed.
I'd pay to see that. I'd send a couple dollars up Aston Martin's way to get Adrian Newey if that is what was going
to
happen.
Donate to the fund. I guess I'm sure Lawrence Stroll has plenty of money to offer.
I'm sure Lawrence Stroll doesn't have to set up the GoFundMe for that one.
I don't think he's going to have to, but I mean, this does come with kind of a shock, because if that does come through and is true, if he does leave, then what does that mean for the stability of Red Bull in terms of that? Not even just the car, just the organization as a whole, especially with what's going on with Horner still, with there's the appeal process going on from the accuser. Max is saying he'll stay as long as why am I blanking on his name right now?
Marco.
Helmut Marco.
He'll stay as long as Helmut Marco stays. But this is an interesting kind of dynamic that Red Bull is, especially with Lawrence Stroll just talking about, especially when in the past he's talked about he's just throwing money at it until something sticks.
Yeah.
And this could be the one that sticks.
And honestly, I've got to say, F1 leadership has not impressed me this year. And this is kind of on the heels of what you're saying. The way they've handled, I mean, we have gotten a string of bad news and bad stories since the season started. And I think that's kind of been a result of the way that FIA and FOM have handled things. I'm not super impressed with the way that they have been running the show I guess it's not just a show, but like the FIA and Formula One should not be fighting one another. They should be working to further the business. And right now what we see is like I said, just a lack of leadership. And I love this sport. I'm here for the sport, but the constant politicking, like I addressed in the last episode, has gotten to the point now where, I mean, it just looks like the organization's lost control in a lot of ways. Not completely. I'm not going to call it a complete failure, but it's a little discouraging to see F1 handle these controversies the way that they did. Red Bull itself wasn't transparent, and F1 didn't hold them accountable for their own internal investigation with the Horner stuff. Ben Saliam, the guy in charge of the FIA, is trying to fight for the FIA, but also was left hanging with Andretti and the Susie Wolf lawsuit. I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know. There's just not, they need to get on the same page, the FIA and FOM, and the teams as well. They all need to get on the same page for this sport to succeed in the future, because right now with the state of dominance that we have by Red Bull and all of this just constant bad news, it's not a good look. I've not been impressed this season. Sorry for going on that rant. But
no, you're fine.
No, I mean, you're completely correct, though, Ben. It's terrible, terrible PR for the organization and just everybody engaged with it today because of what that the sport has become and going through it. It's a shame to see, because you see other motorsports going down the same path, especially here in the States with NASCAR. I know I'm not supposed to compare it to NASCAR racing.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah.
In this case.
Well, let me say this. With the NASCAR stuff, you at least have unified leadership.
Yeah.
NASCAR answers to NASCAR.
Bill France.
Yeah, NASCAR answers
more
to
stages.
Bill France. F1 answers to the FIA, but they also answer to Formula One management. The Formula One management makes them all sign a Concord agreement, and they're the people that hand out the money via Liberty Media. So Liberty Media owns basically the income, and then they distribute it. Formula One management regulates the team's business side, and then the FIA regulates the team's sporting-wise, right? When the FIA got out of its lane and started saying that, I mean, I don't know if they got out of, okay, I'll take this back. They did not get out of their lane when they were saying that Andretti should get on the grid. But I don't know how to say this other than F1 and FIA should be on the same page, and they are not right now. And when they are politicking against one another, this results in just the chaos that we have now. And yeah, NASCAR went through a period of that, but at least now that they don't have like a war between the sports regulating body and the management.
Yeah, playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother beast, right? You do have the playoffs.
I do get what you're saying, though.
Playoffs to F1. Who says no?
I say no.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone
says that would not be good for anyone. Circuit racing is completely different than track racing, but
Final Four in Las Vegas. That's what we do it for.
Yes, race in the Spear.
It's the Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. Anti-gravity boost, like
NASCAR and the Mad Max Thunderdome.
But yeah.
Anyway.
I do think you're completely correct, though, Ben, in those statements.
Yeah.
You just said here on the podcast.
Thank you. And yeah, y'all know a thing or two more about management than I do. So, yeah.
I'm business major, baby.
Yeah.
H-Cub.
Let's go.
But, no, I agree with my two cents on that. Like, I mean, if they're both not the same company, but you're both handling kind of like the same problem. Like,
yeah.
You don't see, like, give an example. You don't see, like, the NFL going against, like, kind of their main broadcast partners. It's a little bit different than that, but, like, there's not really, like, another organization besides maybe you could say the schools in the NCAA. They're, like, kind of, like, not in cahoots
with
each other.
Yeah, with the NIL stuff.
Where, like, the governing body doesn't own the sport.
Yeah. And
so, like,
and it's fine for the governing body and the owners of the sport to not be in cahoots, but
you have to be on the same page, though.
They got to be on the same page.
Yeah.
Not looking good. And I think that's going to be the reason why Max Verstappen leaves F1 in the next 3 years.
Isn't that kind of what happened with the Premier League as well when they tried to form the Super League or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And everybody kind of just shut it down.
Yes. Yes, and that also happened in Formula One, actually. So there was this little thing called the FISA-FOCA War. And FOCA is the Formula One Constructors Alliance. FISA is the what would become the FIA, right? FISA represented and kind of spoke for the big teams, and FOCA was for the smaller teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at one point, there was this race that FISA had scheduled in South Africa and had promoted for a certain date, and FOCA said, we're not gonna sanction this race. So basically what they did was, this is kind of fun, but what they did was they all turned up with all of the rules and regulations that, or all the innovations that FOCA had banned, and they were all running the same engine because they were all small teams that were customers. So what you had was just a bunch of crazy, like, technological cars with the same engine and gearbox, which I think was pretty funny. And I wouldn't be opposed to that being its own series, you know? Like, you get a spec engine, and then you build everything else yourself. That'd be kind of interesting. And they could have no regulations on aerodynamic performance because the engines are what's the limiting factor, not the aero. I don't know. Just spitballing here, boys.
Isn't that, like, kind of more dangerous, though?
I wouldn't say so because, I mean, you give them a 500-horsepower engine. The current F1 cars have 1,060 upward,
yeah,
like a ton of horsepower.
Yeah.
The only thing that's keeping them on track is the aero.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's the only thing that's keeping these guys safe. But imagine, just daydream with me a little bit. We go to a time where engines are much smaller and lighter and naturally aspirated, and internal combustion engine only. And in this time period, the cars are 20% smaller and 30% lighter. They don't weigh a ton. That's when you have closer racing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if the FIA wants to promote closer racing, this is totally tangential, but then they need to scrap the regulations for 2026. Max Verstappen himself has said that they do not look good. The cars look slow, heavy, and they're smaller, but they weigh more. And they have less power. And he said he does not want to drive them. And I don't think he will if they keep the rules. I don't think any of the drivers will be happy to. I know there's going to be people that are excited to get into F1, and there's going to be a lot of new drivers. But I think you could see some serious problems if they don't get it together on the regulations.
Yeah.
As long as they're still making money.
Yeah. They'll be making money. They'll be throwing sponsors out and generating ad revenue, and I'll still watch it because I love the sport. I don't.
You'll
that doesn't bother me.
You'll buy a watch.
I don't know about that one.
That doesn't bother me. I will not buy a watch. I don't buy watches.
Let's move on. We're talking about politics about in the sport a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just kind of the racetrack drama a little bit. Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah.
He's supposed to spend this season 2024 preparing for potential return to Red Bull. Now he's being outperformed by Tsunoda, and there's thoughts that he's going to get the Nyck de Vries treatment.
Well said.
So, I mean, Ricciardo has not performed. I mean, Yuki, credit to him, he got 6 points last week. Now 11th in the championship. Daniel still has 0 points with that, and Red Bull's kind of willing to see him kind of get better with that. Visa Cash App, the Racing Bull. I'm just going to call him the Racing Bull.
Yeah, I just call him RB.
So RB wants to see that kind of improve because Yuki getting 6 points already in one race does not help his case because it's shown that car has pace. I mean, he's a multiple-time race winner getting outperformed by Yuki Tsunoda, who's on a year-to-year basis getting a new contract every year.
Yeah.
So, and especially with the talented drivers that are coming up, I mean, Who says no? They give the seat to someone else in this year, and then that's the person who replaces Checo at the end of the year, if they move on from Checo for Red Bull.
Yeah. I think this has important consequences for Red Bull, both in the short term and the long term. Actually, both teams in the short term and long term. Ricardo has been struggling, and RB gave him a pretty competitive car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's challenging for the top 10. Yuki got points, got eighth. I think it's kind of – it's not a good look for sure, getting beaten by Tsunoda, who originally kind of seemed like an obligatory hire, and here's why. Honda has always required a Japanese driver – not required, but let me say, strongly encouraged a Japanese driver for one of their customer teams, whichever one it is. And currently that is Red Bull. And Red Bull have historically not had one, but Honda also had other fingers and other pies. Anyways, Yuki Tsunoda was kind of there just to be the Honda guy. And now he is beating Ricardo, who... I mean, I think it's still crazy how Ricardo wound up in that seat and in that team, because he was out after 2021 or 2022. He was out after 2022, and Red Bull picked him up. And I'm still shocked that they did that with him. And then they tried the De Vries experiment, and that didn't go well. And then they tried, trying Ricardo, and that's not going great either. It's just strange how they've been running this team in the past 3 years, and they're not setting Ricardo up for success. But this year they are not, historically at least, the past couple years the car was terrible. But this year they actually have a pretty good car, and it's been proven that it can score points. But where is Ricardo's pace? I don't know.
It's not there.
No, and he says he feels confident in the car. The car feels predictable. It's just that he's not carrying the speed. I don't know what's going on.
That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, he does need to improve. I mean, people like him. He's good for the sport. But it's a matter of, like, a team-by-team basis. You can't just get the marketing dollars if you're not going to perform well. You could sell stickers, but it's better to see the stickers at the front than the back, as we learned with teams in the past.
Yeah, and I mean, Ricardo's a talented driver, but...
He's looking like Celtic Shaq right now.
You can always take the Steiner approach and start riding columns or something for F1.
That works, yeah.
You can still generate
it. Yeah, I want him to be a part of... Yeah, still be a part of it, but like...
But I mean, he went from being...
It's because he took a chance on himself with Renault and it backfired.
Yeah, that was dumb. And the same thing happened to Gasly.
Mm-hmm.
Those two stories kind of mirror one another. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, he looked like Max Verstappen's teammate going into the season. That's where I thought he would be, and he has not delivered. I don't know what's going on with him.
I mean, besides the problem with Max and Carlos's dad, I mean, I think it's going to be a shoe-in to be the next Red Bull. But as we know, that can't.
I think Carlos Sr. and Yoss will get along if Carlos is promised a Red Bull seat. I think they can make it work.
That's a rough if.
And
then they'll see Max walk to Mercedes in 25.
Yeah, probably. And I think he's going there anyway. No, I really don't. But they're really recruiting him hard, actually.
They are.
Toto made an offer.
I heard that, yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
But if I'm Max, like, well, that was the next topic we were going to talk about before we wrapped up. Like, if I'm Max, you care more about winning than really anything.
For sure.
Why would you go to a team that's not been proven to create a competitive car in the cost era?
Well, it just depends on what Mercedes can offer in the future. If they say, yeah, we've looked at our stuff and we're going to be 3 seconds faster than the current generation car, when everything points to the car slowing down, I would take it. Also, guys, what's going to happen to Liam Lawson in this whole Ricardo thing if this plays out the way that we think it will?
I mean, you'd have to maybe give him another chance, right?
Yeah. I mean, but he did great.
I mean, think this is the year of one-year contracts. We talked about this in the show a lot.
Yeah.
The thing is, there's a lot of talented drivers. Like, Sainz should have a seat somewhere next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very bad if he doesn't. There's a lot of talented rookies. I mean, look what Ollie Bearman just did.
Yeah.
And it's not like Nick DeFries, where Nick DeFries was like 27 or whatever he was, 25. He's still really, really young. I mean, I think he was the youngest race starter.
Who?
Ollie Bearman. There was some – he was the youngest something.
The youngest debutant for Ferrari.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was, yes.
Yeah.
And then he gets 6 points in one race. So
yeah, very impressive.
It's you don't want like these older drivers to stick around longer than they're welcome. And I think that's the thing when talking about
yeah.
Ricardo. It's like, yeah, we like you, but you're holding back. There's 20 seats.
Yeah.
And you're holding it back from someone who would be a good character maybe in the sport and be have a good future. So.
And also, you got to think about the power dynamic within Red Bull, too. You always got to take this into account. Daniel is Christian Horner's guy. He always has been. Ever since Daniel was a junior in the Red Bull Academy, Christian has rated him and treated him highly and treated him well.
Mm-hmm.
Lawson is Helmut Marko's guy. And then Yuki is Honda's guy. So there's this weird dynamic of three different factions, and none of them particularly like one another, especially recently with the way that Marco's camp has gone after Horner. And, I mean, that's going to affect the driver's circumstance, and that's unfortunate. I think they should earn their spot, and politics should not come into play, but that's the way it is, and I guess that kind of makes for an interesting thought. But, yeah, I mean, Lawson did really well, and if you see signs or if you see Ricardo struggling, I'm not going to be surprised to see Lawson in there. We'll see if Ricardo starts making stupid mistakes, he's out.
Ricardo, you can always come Stuart Haas Racing, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a place for you over here in the States.
Speaking of which, guys, I was at the Southern Union Community College 3D Printing Laboratory, and check this out.
Ben showing – this is great podcasting. Ben showing us something on his phone.
Yes.
Audio right here.
Griggs, I want you to read to the viewers what you see here.
And then we'll wrap up with this.
Yeah.
Because it's getting late. I don't know. It's got lacrosse later. Oh, it's the Gene Haas Advanced Manufacturing Lab.
How cool is that?
Southern Union producing parts 3 years that are not as advanced as the other teams.
I think, yeah, Southern Union has been doing the development for Haas. That's why they're doing so well this season. That's why they're doing so well this season.
All right.
They got double points.
But that
before Griggs wraps this up, I would like to say this has been recorded, like I said in the beginning, in the bullpen of Legal 91.1 FM. We're trying to get a full-fledged podcast studio in here. So if you have any concerns over the audio or any part of this podcast, please feel free to reach out to our Twitter. What's our Twitter?
At SMOP Podcast.
At SMOP Podcast. Please DM us or tag us in something. We'd really like to continue making this podcast setup that we have in here. We're using the equipment that I'm going to call across with tonight. So we would like to know if there's anything we can do to improve the audio or something else. Please let us know.
Yes, but before we go, we have a little bit of a stat update. So I've been keeping our track of our stats the past couple years for downloads and stuff. So we had not done one since October 5th. So this is March 29th. Gentlemen, we've crossed 2,000 downloads.
Yeah.
Wow.
The current show at Weagle, we are the most downloaded show who is still currently running at Weagle.
Wow.
We're coming for you, Alex.
We're goated.
About another couple months, we'll pass that for the most downloaded show at Weagle of all time.
Wow.
We are coming for you, Alex.
Incredible.
You best believe it.
In 35 states, and this is the crazy one now, 71 countries.
More countries than states. That's impressive.
Well, there are more countries than there are states.
Yeah, but we also have 50 of them, and
that is true.
All of them are guaranteed to speak English.
But no, compared to what it was last year, like around last year, March 24th, that was 572 downloads, 22 states, 19 countries. So
wow.
Almost quadrupling all the stats. So that's pretty impressive.
That's nuts.
But we couldn't have done it without the listeners like you. Sound like the PBS ad. So thank you for continuing to listen to this podcast. But that is going to do it for our show today. I'm not going to say the normal line I do because you're listening to the podcast right now.
Yeah.
We'll see you again next week. We might do something similar to this due to a conflict with softball, but we will keep you posted on our Twitter at SMOP Podcast. But until next time, for Ben McClurkin, Noah Phillips, I'm Greg Swankenberg. This has been Smooth Operators, part of the Weagle 91.1 family. We thank you for listening. Have a great day, and War Eagle.